It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levionier, for an hour of radio drama. Later on, we'll hear Elizabeth Scott and Stars Over Hollywood, but right now it's the Gulf Screen Guild Theater with an adaptation of the Oscar-winning motion picture Sergeant York. The principal players of the 1941 film are in this radio broadcast, Gary Cooper, Walter Brennan, and Joan Leslie, heard on CBS Radio on January 19, 1942.
Theater. Presenting tonight, Sergeant York. And here is your host, the director of the Star's own theater, Roger Pryor.
Good evening, everyone. Once again, the Gulf Oil Companies and your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer welcome you to the Gulf Screen Guild Theater. We feel that tonight is one of the most important occasions in the Gulf Theater. First, we'll bring you Charles Tazewell's unusual adaptation of the hit picture of the year, Sergeant York, with the original stars Gary Cooper, Walter Brennan, and Joan Leslie. After that, you'll hear Martha Scott present the Red Book Magazine Cup to Gary Cooper for the outstanding performance of 1941. First of applause is for our stars who are taking their places before the Gulf microphone. You'll hear Gary Cooper as Alvin York, Joan Leslie as Gracie Williams, and Walter Brennan as Pastor Pyle, who tells our story. Ladies and gentlemen, the Gulf Screen Guild Theater production of Sergeant York.
America's a young country, but it's got a world of legends told by old men whose father's father see them happen with their own eyes. Tall yarns, mostly, embroidered with a lot of fancy fiction, told and retold until the truth is wore as thin as the seat of the teller's blue jeans. Now, I ain't so old, yet I see the legend. A legend born deep in the Cumberland Mountains of Tennessee. A legend had come to pass on Hill 223, the Argonne, France. Pastor Roger Pyle's my name, preaching storekeeper, known by everybody in the Valley of the Three Forks of the Wolf. My business is to keep folks' immortal souls on the credit side of the Lord's register.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
But there's some that always would allow that Alvin York was lost to grace. Wild, harum-scarum, riding daft round the countryside, corn liquor in his gullet and the devil whispering in his ear. I recollect the night he busted up my sermon at the meeting house. Come out whooping up the road with Bucker, shooting wild. Then galloped off across the Kentuck border to drink the devil's brew till they both was biled. Gracie Williams. You know, I see her tonight. I go into the meeting house. She's pretty.
Well, that's why you wanted to ride by the church when Pastor Pyle was a preaching, eh? You wanted to show off before Gracie Williams.
You know something? I think I'll marry her.
Alvin, you're drunk. You're a terrible, awful drunk, or you wouldn't be a-talking that way.
No, I ain't neither. I ain't the least bit drunk. And just as soon as I'm sober, I'm going to ask Gracie to marry me.
Alvin, you're plumb crazy as a coot. Besides, didn't you know Zeb Andrews is a walking her steady? Come on now, drink up and forget Gracie.
What do we drink to?
Oh, we're drunk to just about everything there. I'll tell you what, let's drink again something.
Again what?
Again man's greatest enemy.
Snakes.
Snakes and petticoats, reptiles and dresses. This drink is again gals. The ruination, us men, good times and good drinking.
That's a great idea.
Here's again all the gals in all three nations.
Pass up, boy, Alvin.
All the gals in all three nations. But that Gracie Williams is awful pretty. And just as soon as I'm sober, I'm a-going up and ask her to marry me.
Oh, Alvin.
Real good. Don't you think so, Alvin?
Wife, here's better, Miss Gracie.
Where and who playing? Just tell me that. Tell me that.
Todd Haskins.
Todd can't play for shucks.
Ten.
Now, boys, there ain't no call for fussing over a little thing like a playing a mouth organ.
I ain't a fussing. I was just a-telling Zeb.
Go on, Zeb. Play some more.
I guess some folks not so far away just ain't got no ear for music.
It'd go real nice of you to come up here to see me tonight, Alvin.
I got something on my mind.
What, Alvin?
I got something on my mind.
You have, Alvin? What is it?
Well, if you and me could walk down the road a piece.
What'd you say, Alvin?
I said if you and me...
What, Alvin?
I said if somebody don't quit making a racket, I'm going to break his neck for him.
You and who else, Alvin York?
Me and nobody else, Zeb Andrews.
Yeah.
Alvin, Zeb, now you stop it. You want to wake up Grandpappy?
Alvin started it.
You're thinking.
I'm a-knowing.
Now, yes, you two. You wake him up and he'll make me come in. Look, how would you boys like some cider?
Well, I'd like a drink right well.
So would I.
Well, you wait right here and I'll fetch you. Dry out of the fridge. Alvin? Zeb? Now, what on earth? Alvin?
Yes?
Who was Zeb?
Well, I reckon he lit out.
Ain't he coming back?
No, ma'am.
Alvin, you didn't... You was fighting.
What, Mike?
Alvin York, you ain't a-fitting to come a-visiting a girl.
Miss Gracie, I'm a-going to marry you.
You what?
I'm a-going to marry you.
Well, where are you? Alvin York, I wouldn't have you on a Christmas tree. Fine husband you'd make.
I allow Zeb Andrews would make a better one.
I allow he would.
Because he's got a piece of bottom land. That's it, ain't it?
Maybe it is and maybe it ain't. But all you're good for is fighting and hell raising.
I reckon if I had me a farm in the bottom land, I reckon it'd make a heap of difference to you.
You owned a bottom land farm.
Well, there ain't nothing I can't get if I put my mind to it, Gracie.
You don't think much of yourself, do you?
Yes, I do. That's why I want you to be sure and wait for me. It may take me a spell, but I'll be a-coming back. Good night, Gracie.
Alvin! Alvin, wait! Yuck. Body is think when a body has a body to get married. A body pregnancy says yes to a body. Well, body would think a body'd have enough gumption to kiss a body.
Funny what love can do to folks. Take Alvin York. From that night on, he never touched another drop. I'd see him nights, walking out across the fields, alone, studying over how he'd get a piece of bottom land for him and Gracie. The farm he finally set his mind to was held indeed by old Nate Watkins. He was a sharp, close trader. Steal your eye teeth if you didn't watch out.
Now, $30 for the mule, $6 for the pulley, $4.50 for the fox pelts, $9.50 for the rabbit skins, goose feathers, and cloth.
How much does that come to, Mr. Watkins?
$50 for the whole caboodle, Alvin.
How much more do I need to get your bottom land?
$70, payable in 60 days. Hey, that's a lot of money for a fella like you to get his hands on, Alvin.
Yeah, it is.
60 days is all you got.
60 days and 60 nights, Mr. Watkins. You see, if I count the nights, too, I got nigh on to 4 months to pay you off. Don't you worry none, Mr. Watkins. You'll get your money because I just got to have that piece of bottom land.
Getting up at dawn and working far into the night. Split them rails for Zeke. Plow that field for Lem. 4 bits. Plus 4 bits will make a silver dollar to put again the day to pay Nate Watkins. Trap that fox for moonlight. Tote the pelt to Jimtown.
clear that field of rock. Shut that load of corn. Shoe them mules. Dig them holes. Pull them stumps. Load them logs. Sweat and coat. Grunt and pull. Wheeze and yank. Groan and shovel.
Gotta get 70 whole dollars out of the Three Forks of the Wolf to buy a piece of bottom land for Gracie.
Watkins and I got some business settled up with him.
Howdy, Mr. Watkins.
Howdy, Elvin.
I'm sure glad to see you. I got your money for the bottom land. Here's $46, and the rest will be in that hat. I just won the beef critter.
Well, I'm mighty sorry, Elvin, but I just sold that land.
You what?
I sold it to Zeb.
But you couldn't do that. He had a bargain.
I never figured you'd raise the money.
But I was trusting your word.
business is business, Alvin.
What kind of business? Going back on what you promised.
Now, Alvin.
You know how much I wanted that piece of land.
Alvin, if you lay a hand on me...
You can't do this to me. You can't do it.
Alvin, help! Help!
Now, careful, Alvin.
Hold your horses.
You'll just get yourself into trouble, Alvin.
Ain't no use to hit him. He's got the law on his side.
Let loose of me.
Now, Alvin.
Now, let loose of me. I ain't going to hit him.
If you do, I'll have you in jail, Alvin.
You ain't worth hitting. Just keep out of my sight, that's all. Keep out of my sight, because every time I see you... I'll be reminded how I've been a-wasting my time. There ain't no sense in a man trying to amount to something. There ain't no sense in a man a-sweating and a-breaking his back to get a little bit more than his pappy hat. A man's a fool to be trying to be anything better than he should be. From now on, I'm a-gonna drink and fight and have me the devil's own time from here to the Kaintuck border. And I'm a-warning you, don't nobody try to stop me.
This year, drink is again Nate Watkins.
Oh, forget it. You don't want to farm nohow.
His word won't no count, Buck.
Hey, Alvin, just look at that fat cow yonder.
And I promised Gracie, huh? I told her I'd be back and marry her.
Why don't you dance with that big woman, Alvin?
I'm going back to see Nate Watkins.
Not tonight. It's pouring rain.
Let go of me, Buck.
It won't do you no good to kill him.
Let go of me. I've got to settle it yet.
Alvin, wait. That's talking.
Well, here's to the soul of Nate Watkins. May it rest in peace.
There was Alvin York, riding with the devil, riding through the storm with a killing in his heart. Lightning tore the sky apart and thunder shook the mountains. The Lord was mighty angry with his killing down below. Sudden from the mountaintop, a bolt struck down from heaven. Struck the mule and Alvin to the clay from whence he came. Showed him to his knees with his gun in busted pieces. Let him feel the power and anger of the Lord.
Lord, you sure do work in mysterious ways.
Then rolling from the meeting house, he heard the joyful voices. Raised in hope and promise to Almighty God above, singing out his praises full of faith and hope and glory, and calling out to Alvin to come in and find the light. Then rising, feared and humbled, he stumbled toward the churchyard, pulled hard on the latch string and threw wide the door, walked down to the altar and knelt with all the others to ask for God's salvation for the soul of Alvin York.
The proclamation of President Woodrow Wilson designates June 5th, 1917, as registration day for every male citizen between the ages of 21 and 31. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army, the President directs...
I ain't a-going, Pastor. I just ain't a-going.
You gotta go, Alvin. It's the law.
Thou shalt not kill. The Bible says that. What kind of law is it that says a man's got to go again that?
I know, Alvin. I know what the Lord says.
Well, the Lord's been powerful good to me ever since I found him that night. He's given me grace. He's promised that you'll wait for me till I get that farm. And the way things are going now, it won't be more than 2-3 years. And I ain't a-going on again the Lord's word, Pastor Pyle.
Well, if you don't go, they'll come after you.
Well, I'll go back into them hills.
Yeah, and they'll put dogs in your trail.
Well, that won't take me. Leastwise, not alive. And if they catch up with me, I'll take a few of them along with me. I tell you, I'm sorry, Pastor Pyle. I didn't know what I was saying. Those were sinful words, but what can I do?
Why don't you ask the Lord, Alvin?
Ask the Lord? Sure. Sure, that's the thing to do, ain't it? And up on that mountain yonder, that's about the closest place a man can get to God. I'll go up there and I'll tell him what I want to know. And he'll give me the right answer. God, I'm speaking to you. My name's Alvin York. I climbed up here as close to the stars as I could get to ask you to help me. Right here in my Bible, it says, thou shalt not kill. It ain't in my mind to go again, you, God, but what can I do? Help me. Show me the way. Give me a sign. Your book. The wind tore it right out of my hand. Is that your sign? Is that page lying open what you want to tell me? Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Unto Caesar, Caesar. Unto God, God. Oh, thank you. I reckon I got my answer. And I reckon it's how I know now what to do.
Corporal York, the objective is that wooded ridge. Zero hour will be at 6 hours, 10 minutes. Any questions?
I got it straight, Captain.
Get your men ready. And good luck, York.
Corporal York, I'm hit bad. Tell Cutting to take over.
Cutting's down, sir.
What about Savage?
He's down, too, and I cut to pieces.
Then it's up to you, York. Take over.
Yes, sir.
York, come back. Where are you going?
You done give me a command, sir, and I aim to stop them machine guns.
Sergeant. Look, Bosch headed this way.
Hey, give me those binoculars and get company headquarters on the wire.
Okay,
Sergeant. Yep. Yep there, Bosch. All right.
Hello? Hello? Observation post 101 reporting. Bosch counterattack headed this way.
Hey, wait. Wait a minute. Hold it.
What's the matter?
Those Bosch having any rifles.
No rifles? What kind of a gun?
Hello there.
That ain't a Bosch voice.
Hello there.
You're right, Sergeant. That guy's a Yank.
Hey, who goes there? How many prisoners?
132.
Okay, advance will be... How many did you say?
132.
Oh, wait, hold on just a minute. Headquarters still on the wire, Sarge. What'll I tell them?
Tell them I can start packing to go home. Some son of a gun named York has just captured the whole German army.
Story of the man from Tennessee, and it made men's hearts beat faster, made their faith a little greater, made them pray a little longer, and gave them strength for victory. Oh, they covered him with honors.
The Distinguished Service Cross, the Croix de Guerre, Congressional Medal of Honor.
And the president shook his hand, while the nation called him hero, praised his name throughout the land.
But the man they all was cheering heard their voices, not at all. He was thinking of some mountains where the pines are straight and tall, and of a valley, of a river, and of a girl, and how she'd stand of a peaceful Sunday morning when the choir sang Beulah Land.
Gosh, Tracy, it sure is good to be home.
Sure is good to have you home, Alvin. Let's walk down the way a piece and look at that bottomland farm you was trying to get to.
All right, only it ain't much good looking at it now. We got to wait.
How long, Alvin?
Oh, 2-3 years anyhow.
But I ain't willing to wait, Alvin.
You ain't?
No, but hey.
Well, I don't blame you none. The girl's got to do as she sees fit. I hope you and him will be very happy.
Me and who?
Zeb Andrews, of course. Zeb's got a good farm.
Now, looky here, Alvin York. If I wanted Zeb Andrews for a husband, I reckon I could get him without your acting so noble. Now, get this straight. I ain't marrying a piece of land or beef critters or a field of corn. If you I'm marrying, it ain't nobody else in the world. I done kissed you, didn't I? Well, don't go around kissing men I ain't going to be marrying. So don't you talk that way to me again, Alvin York. Don't you ever.
Why, Gracie.
You've got no excuse to run off on your promise to marry me.
But, Gracie, don't you see that I can't...
Don't see her. You're blind, Alvin. Look down there. Don't you see that new house and barn and everything?
Say, they sure are handsome. Did Zeb build them?
Mm-hmm, they're yours. Your farm, Alvin.
Mine?
They done give it to you. The people of the state of Tennessee. For what you done.
Gracie, you don't mean that they...
Only 200 acres, and there's a pout in the kitchen and more real glass windows than you ever saw.
Why, Grace, but I... Well, I...
What, Alvin?
Well, the Lord sure does move in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform.
Gary Cooper, Walter Brennan, and Joan Leslie for your magnificent performances. Gulf also thanks Charles Tazewell for his splendid radio adaptation and Oscar Bradley for his superb musical score. In a moment, ladies and gentlemen, you'll hear more from Gary Cooper. You'll hear the annual Red Book Award presentation, and you'll also meet Martha Scott, representing the winner of last year's award, Our Town. Now the Red Book Award for the outstanding performance of 1941. The award is a cup. It's presented each year by the editors of the magazine, Edwin G. Balmar and Baldemar Fitlugwin, and Douglas Churchill, the motion picture editor of the Red Book magazine. This year, the editors had no difficulty in making their selection. One man's performance, one man's contribution to the art of the motion picture stood out above all others. As in the past 2 years, it was only fitting that the award be made on the stage of the Gulf Screen Guild Theater, for this is the program closest to the heart of Hollywood, the star's own theater. And now, Miss Martha Scott, star of Our Town, last year's award winner, is here to represent Douglas Churchill in awarding the Red Book Cup for 1941. Miss Martha Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Pryor. And may I say that everyone in Hollywood agrees with Red Book's selection for its 1941 award. The story of Sergeant York is a great one. A true saga of American heroism. Gary Cooper, your performance in the Warner Brothers production of Sergeant York pictures this man from the hills of Tennessee with all the quiet simplicity, dignity, and courage that has made his amazing story an American legend. Praise should be given, too, to producers Jesse L. Lasky, Hal B. Wallace, to director Howard Hawks, and to Warner Brothers Studios and to the entire supporting cast. But to you, Mr. Cooper, for your outstanding performance, we present this Red Book Cup for 1941. Engraved with the words, "For distinguished contribution to the art of the motion picture." Congratulations, Mr. Cooper.
Thank you, Martha. The opportunity to portray the life story of Sergeant Alvin C. York was a privilege. I hope the story will be an inspiration to all of us. We can't all be heroes like Sergeant York. We can all fight like he did, if not with guns. We can fight in another way, by buying all the defense bonds and defense stamps we can. Do that, and we'll win this fight hands down. Well, I want to thank you, Martha Scott, and thank the Gulf Oil Companies, and thank Douglas Churchill for the Red Book magazine.
The Gulf Screen Guild Theater, with an adaptation of the Oscar-winning motion picture Sergeant York, released in 1941, directed by Howard Hawks. The Academy Awards went to William Holmes for Best Film Editing and Best Actor in a Leading Role, which was Gary Cooper. You're listening to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you radio drama in this hour. I'm your host, Mark Levanier, and now time for Stars Over Hollywood, with screen siren Lisbeth Scott, co-starring a capable radio cast of Verna Felton, Don Diamond, and Harry Bartell in the story Night Operator, from March 29, 1952, on CBS.
This is Lisbeth Scott with a welcome to Stars Over Hollywood, presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Here's your host for Carnation, Art Ballinger.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood is brought to you by Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk. And today we present transcribed Night Operator, starring Lisbeth Scott. Ladies, when you buy milk, remember that no other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation. Yes, it's Carnation bringing you Stars Over Hollywood. And speaking of stars, meet a young lady who has established for herself a couple of movie town firsts, Miss Lisbeth Scott.
Well, thank you, Art, but what's all this first business?
Well, if my information is correct, you were starred in the very first picture in which you appeared.
Yes, that's right. It was Hal Wallace's production of You Came Along.
And you were also the first player under contract on the same Mr. Wallace's now length. What's your latest picture, Lisbeth?
Well, the last release is Hal Wallace's production of Red Mountain with Alan Ladd.
Oh, yes, and it's mighty fine, too, I understand. And now, Act One of Night Operator, starring Lisbeth Scott in the role of Laurie Ann McRae. Curtain going up.
Hotel Olympic. I'll ring. Hotel Olympic. I'm sorry, the terrace room closes at midnight. Operator. Yes, ma'am, it's 1:57. 306 at 7:30? Yes, ma'am. Good night. Yes.
Hi, Laurie. I got back. Now, as I was saying before we were interrupted...
Roy, you were saying just what you've been saying for 6 months. And the answer's still no.
Oh, now, Laurie, baby, don't you believe in fate? Night after night, you and I practically alone down here all night long. Hmm? Believe me, Blue Eyes, this was just meant to be. Come here, baby.
No, let go of me. Roy, please, no.
She said let go, Roy. Get out of here and stay out.
Is your work all done?
You take care of your job, young man, and I'll take care of mine. Somebody at the front desk now. Get out there and stay there.
Oh, thanks, Sybil. I don't quite know what to do with Roy.
Just shock him one, hard. It's the only language his kind understands. Or if you don't want to, give me the word. Oh, I'd enjoy it. And I haven't had the chance in a good many years, more's a pity.
I don't believe that. Olympic.
Hi, Laurie.
Oh, hello, Rusty.
Any calls? Anybody need the town's finest cab service?
Sorry, no customers.
How about you? I'll stay on the job till 7 if you let me drive you home.
Someday, Rusty. Not tonight.
That makes only 408 times the same answer. Well, I'll keep trying.
Okay. Good night.
Night.
Maybe I should have Rusty take care of Roy.
I got a hunch he could. You ever seen Rusty?
Mm-mm.
Did he call yet?
No.
I mean, who?
You know who.
Yes, I guess I do. Not yet. He's due. Past.
You may not realize it, but I hurry to get my first three floors checked so I can be down here by 2 o'clock. I like to watch what happens to your eyes when that call comes every night.
Oh, you're silly. He's not calling me. He's Carol Morton's boyfriend.
Oh, the more fool he. Why any man in his right mind would want to call that blonde floozy long distance every night of the world is more than I can understand.
It won't be long distance tonight. He'll call from the bus terminal.
Oh?
Uh-huh. Every fifth night, his schedule brings him through here. The other night when he phoned, I called the roof garden, and Carol Morton hadn't finished her number yet. Or that's the message she gave. And so for the first time in all the weeks he's been calling her, he talked to me for a while he was waiting.
Which made you very unhappy, of course. What's his name?
Greg Munger. He's got the best safety record of any Transwest driver. And they've got bus lines all over the county.
Do tell.
He went 2 years to junior college. He was in the Marines. And his favorite composer is George Gershwin. Oh, and he wrote some poetry once, but it was awful. Only I bet it wasn't.
That's a lot of information about a guy you have no interest in. Gonna see him, Laurie?
Of course not. He didn't ask to. Anyway, Sybil, you ask the craziest questions.
Tell him your name?
No, he didn't ask.
Laurie, I'm an old woman.
You're not.
And 60 years have brought me to this high estate. Night floor supervisor, which is a fancy way of saying janitress. So my life has not been noted for success. But it's taught me enough to know that when a girl 22, pretty as a picture, locks herself up away from the world all night, 6 nights a week, something is wrong.
I like my job.
You could like it just as much in the daytime, but no, it's the night for you all night. A tidy, safe little tower all your own. You're scared of the night. Scared of people. I think you're even scared of yourself.
That's not true. And I'm not alone here. I have a lot of friends I talk to, and it's fun to know people just by their voices. I'm lying. It is true. Everything you said. I am afraid. I'm afraid of being hurt again.
A boy?
Yes.
Want to tell me?
It's an old story. The oldest there is, I guess. I met him during the war when I was a hostess at a USO canteen. I danced with 1,000 boys, and none of them really mattered. And then one night, in a doorway, there grinning down at me, was Steve. It was just 2 days before he had to leave for overseas.
You were sure from the first?
Oh, it sounds crazy, but I was. We both were.
No, it doesn't sound crazy. Go on.
Well, we had our 2 wonderful days, and then he was gone. I waited as I'd promised for 19 months until suddenly, just before he was due home, his letters stopped. For weeks I had no word. I was frantic. Then it came.
Telegram from the War Department?
No. It was from Steve. Would you like to see it?
Yeah.
You see, I still carry it. It's kind of a talisman to make me remember to stay in my ivory tower, as you call it. Yeah.
Laurie, please forgive and try to understand. Married girl I met overseas. I'm returning there to live. Thank you for being you, Steve. Oh, Laurie, honey.
That's why, Sybil. With me, it was Steve or no one. So now it'll be no one. Roy or Rusty, Greg Munger, any of them. I can do without them all. And I'm going to.
You're sure of that, aren't you?
Hotel Olympic.
Hi. Is that you again? It's Greg Munger.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
Oh, fine, thank you. You want Miss Martin?
Please.
Well, just a moment.
Oh, tell him she broke her neck, and I wish she had.
Starview Roof?
A call for Miss Martin, Renee. Oh,
I might have known. Carol, for you, say you are not here.
How can I? Anyway, it'll only take a minute to talk to the character. Hello?
Miss Martin, a call for you.
I know. Put him on.
Here she is, Mr. Munger.
Aren't you going to listen in?
Oh, of course not.
Laurie, take an old woman's word for it. Your way won't work. You can't escape from living. You'll have to break out sometime.
I don't think so. And I'm sure I don't want to. Well, thanks anyway, Sybil, but I'd rather have things go on just the way they are. ¶¶
Laurie.
Hello, Sybil. Operator. 5149. Yes, sir. Good night. You're early.
A little.
Sybil.
Hmm?
Do you mind if we don't eat lunch together tonight?
You want to be alone?
I... Do you care?
He didn't call again.
What?
3 nights in a row now, Greg Munger hasn't called on schedule.
How did you know?
Laurie, honey, have you read the papers the last 2 days?
Well, I think so. What about?
Well, I got a hunch there's a story you missed. Here, I kept tonight's in case you still didn't know. He couldn't call, honey. Your man or Carol's or whoever he belongs to. He's been in jail.
In jail?
Well, look at this.
Following a coroner's inquest into the death of 4 persons in the crash Tuesday night of a Transwest Interstate bus, Gregory Munger, driver of the vehicle, was ordered held for trial on a technical charge of manslaughter. Late this afternoon, Munger was released on bail, which Judge James Connors set at $3,000. Oh, Sybil, no. Hotel Olympic.
Hi there, it's Rusty. Any customers?
No, Rusty.
Ride home?
No, thanks.
Okay, I'll be at the stand if a call comes. So long.
Bye. Sybil, do you suppose she knows Carol Martin? Do you suppose she's helping him?
I can't imagine her helping anybody out of jail.
Hotel Olympic.
Miss Martin, please. Hurry, please.
Oh, yes, sir. Sybil.
It's him.
Yes. Yes, it is. He wants Carol.
You talk to him instead.
Oh, how can I? He asked for her. I'll ring Miss Martin now.
Oh, it's you.
Yes. How are you?
Try to get her, please, quickly.
I will. Just a moment.
What'd he say?
He wants her. He sounds worried.
Hello, Starview Ruth.
Miss Martin, please. It's urgent.
Oh, it is always urgent. Carol, for you. Probably your jailbird friend.
Well, if it is, he can save his nickel. Hello?
Miss Martin, a call for you.
Who is it?
It's Mr. Munger. He seems upset.
I don't wonder. Tell him the floor show's still on. You couldn't reach me.
But, Miss Martin...
You heard what I said. Tell him that.
She won't talk to him. Hello?
Carol. Carol, I've got to see you.
Mr. Munger, it's not Carol. I couldn't reach her. The show's still on.
How can it be?
I'm sorry, sir.
Is the show really still on, or is that what she told you to say? Never mind. Listen, give Carol a message for me. I'll wait for her till 2:30 at the end of the Arch Street Bridge. If she's not there by then, tell her not to bother. It'll be too late.
But, Mr. Munger...
That's the message. Did you understand?
Yes, I understand, but please, I mean... Are you all right?
All right? I'm great. I killed 4 people 3 nights ago. One of them a child. How could I help but be all right?
Mr. Munger. Hello? Hello?
What did he say?
He wants her to meet him at the Arch Street Bridge. But he sounded as if...
Starve your roof.
Renee, Miss Martin.
She's gone home for the night.
Oh, but Renee. Oh, Sybil, what can we do? I'm afraid for him.
There's just...
2:30. That's less than half an hour.
There's just one person who can help Greg Munger right now, and that's a girl named Laurie Ann McRae.
Oh, but Sybil, how?
He's in trouble. He's confused, frightened, and upset. Suppose out of the night comes a girl he's never seen, and she needs somebody to help her, perhaps, even worse than he does.
You mean, Sybil, do you think I could?
That telegram in your bag. What if you'd gotten it 3 hours ago instead of 3 years? You've been walking the streets ever since. You'll find yourself at last at the Arch Street Bridge at 3 in the morning.
Oh, Sybil, it might work. It's the one thing that might work. Anyway, I've got to try. Sure you can run that board.
I can and I will. Don't worry.
Arrow cab.
Rusty.
Laurie.
Rusty, bring your cab. I want you to take me as fast as you can to the Arch Street Bridge. And hurry, Rusty. Please. Please hurry.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's radio drama, Night Operator, starring Lisbeth Scott and brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Before we return to the second act, Mary Blake, Carnation's home service director, has a fine suggestion for tastier, more wholesome lunches. Mary?
Thank you, Art.
I'm sure you've all taken advantage of the many excellent canned soups on the market today, of which one of the most popular kinds is vegetables. Well, here's what I consider an improvement on canned vegetable soup that makes it an even more substantial new meal.
You mean more nourishing, Mary?
Yes, Art. More nourishing, more filling, and extra flavorful. I suggest adding an equal amount of undiluted carnation evaporated milk. Well, Art, that's my story for today. See you next week.
Right, Mary. Goodbye. And thank you for another helpful thought on how to make good foods taste better than ever with carnation evaporated milk. We return now to the second act of Night Operator, starring Lisbeth Scott in the role of Laurie Ann McRae.
Look, Laurie, it's none of my business, but, well, accidents happen from this bridge. Accidents that aren't accidents. Too many of them.
I know, Rusty. I know very well.
Look, let me stick around.
No, I have to do this alone.
Hey, are you sure you know what it is you're doing?
I think so, and I'll be all right.
There. There's a guy there by the rail.
Oh, yes, I see him.
Look, are you sure I can help, too?
No, Rusty, thanks. You just go on.
But, Laurie...
Please.
Carol, is that you?
Oh, you did come. You...
You're mistaken.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
That's my concern.
This is no place for a girl like you at this hour.
Isn't it?
Go on, get off this bridge. What kind of a taxi driver let you off at a place like this?
I told him to. Please, just leave me alone.
You're trembling. You're afraid and you're trembling.
It's 2:30.
Tell me your name.
Laurie.
Say, I've seen you before.
No.
Yes, somewhere. Who are you? Why did you have to come here just now? It was all settled, everything.
I came because I had to. There was no other way.
For you? Of course there is. Now go on home, now.
No.
And you'll come with me.
Where?
There's an all-night restaurant a few blocks down the street. You're going to tell me what's wrong. And somehow I'll make you see that for you, this bridge is not the answer.
And for you?
Never mind. Come on.
Then this came, this telegram.
From him? From your Steve?
Yes.
What does it say?
You can read it.
Laurie, please forgive me, marrying a girl I met overseas. Thanks for being you, Steve. So that was your reason?
Yes.
You can think of a far better reason for a person to go to that bridge.
Tell me.
No.
Please, it might help me to see things differently.
All right, Laurie, whatever your name is, I'll tell you. Suppose you got a job, Laurie. A job where the lives of other people depend on you. And then one night you do something that makes no sense. You take another fellow's shift for him on top of your own when you're already dead for sleep. His wife is sick or something, so you say, yeah. But you know in your heart it's a crazy thing to do.
It's not crazy to help someone.
Drive on through the night with a full busload. Fighting to keep awake. And then feel your eyes closing and know you can't help it. There's a sudden car from a side road and you turn. But too late. There's a crash. And you're unconscious. And when you come to, faces are looking down at you accusingly. The voice answers your question. 4 dead. 3 grown-ups and a child. 4-year-old child.
It was an accident. You said yourself a car from the side of the road. Oh, you're crying. Please don't cry.
There's one person who might help. One person you can call and talk to and hope she'll understand. And that person isn't there when you call. Yeah, Laurie, have a story like that to tell. You'll have a real reason for the bridge.
If I just knew what to say, what to do to help you.
Don't think of me. Just go on home. I only told you so you'd realize why there was a difference between the reasons we were there.
Listen, if I do go now, will you promise me one thing?
What?
That you won't go back there either. At least not tonight. Perhaps even in a day things can change. Please, promise. At least one day. Till 24 hours from now.
Who are you, Laurie? How did you happen out of the night? Are you very sure you're real?
Will you promise?
Yeah. I'm not sure why. I only know that I wouldn't know how to look into those eyes of yours and refuse. But I'll take a promise in return.
All right.
Tear up that telegram and forget that a fellow named Steve ever existed. Somewhere there's another better guy for you, and you'll find him.
All right. Yes. Now, I must go.
I'll take you home.
No, no, you mustn't. Good night and goodbye, and remember, I have your word.
No. Do you understand the word? I won't see him and I won't talk to him on the phone.
But, Miss Martin, if you only realize
I realize that Greg Munger is a stupid, sentimental fool. I should have my head examined for ever getting mixed up with him. Furthermore, young woman, it's obvious you've been listening in on my phone calls. And when I tell the hotel manager... You slapped me.
I certainly didn't. If you say that again, I'll do it again. It's what you've needed for a long time. I'm glad you're not going to see Greg anymore. It's the best thing that ever happened to him.
Operator, it's 4 minutes past 2. 304 at 8:30. Yes, ma'am. Good night.
Oh, Laurie, honey, I'm sorry. Maybe I was wrong to encourage you to interfere.
Wrong? Why was it wrong?
Well, because now after you've seen him, after everything that's happened, now if he doesn't call...
Oh, why should he call? He said he knew it was over with him and Carol, and I was just a girl in the night.
He didn't know?
No, sir. Let's not talk about it, Sybil, please.
All right. 24 hours. He only promised 24 hours.
Oh, Sybil, will you quit? Don't you suppose I remember that? Hotel Olympic.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Greg Munger. I'm a little early tonight.
Yes.
It's him. Zach, look, I knew.
I don't suppose Carol's there.
Well...
And I don't care. Hey, hold on a minute, will you?
All right. He said he doesn't care if Carol won't talk to him. He sounds wonderful, Sybil. Not unhappy like last night, but free and wonderful.
Where is he now?
He said to hold the line a minute.
Yes, he did. He had some business to attend to.
Greg! How did you get in here?
I was calling from a payphone in the lobby. Here, you left this last night.
The torn-up telegram.
You know, I got a funny mind, photographs things. After you left, I suddenly realized something I'd seen but hadn't paid much attention to. I pieced this all together again.
The date on it.
The date. 3 years ago. We've got a lot of things to talk about, Laurie Ann McCrae.
Have we?
Some people who were in the accident came to see me today, and they told me you sent them. There'll be a hearing, but I'm almost sure it'll be all right. The other passengers agree it wasn't my fault.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Now, just leave that board alone. Come with me. We're going to lunch.
I can't.
Now, why can't you? Get up from there.
Oh, Greg, this is Sybil. She's been a real friend to both of us. She talked me into going to the bridge last night.
Sybil, when I have time, I'll kiss you for that.
Young man, you'll have to ask my father. Now, get on to both of you.
Come on, Greg.
Operator, a Regent Ayert. 4, 5, 9. I will bring your coffee.
We'll have to hurry. If not, when I come back, she'll have my job for good. Oh, Greg, if you knew how glad I am you're here. How terribly, terribly glad.
I'll tell you a secret. That makes two of us. Come on, voice of the night. Let's find a place we can talk.
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of this week's Stars Over Hollywood show as presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Lisbeth Scott. In just a moment, we'll have news about next week's show. Meantime, how about a curtain call, Lisbeth Scott?
Certainly, Art. At this point, I'm about ready to turn in my earphones for a good cup of coffee.
Lisbeth, your performance was wonderful, and you shall have your coffee, the best the house can offer, which, of course, means coffee creamed with Carnation Evaporated Milk. And now, Lisbeth, for giving us such splendid entertainment today, we want you to have this bouquet of red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of Carnation Evaporated Milk.
Oh, thank you very much, Art. They're lovely. Now, tell me, what do you have planned for next week?
Our star on next Saturday's Stars Over Hollywood show will be another favorite citizen of the movie capital, John Payne.
Oh, that's wonderful, Art. And the story?
It's a suspenseful action story called Back Home.
Well, I'll be listening. But for now, it's... Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Elizabeth Scott. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood was written by True Boardman. Supporting Miss Scott were Harry Bartell, Verna Felton, Don Diamond, Louise Arthur, and Sidney Miller. Music was composed and directed by Rex Corey. The program was transcribed and directed by Don Clark. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure to have Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, on your shopping list. And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger suggesting that you be sure to listen next Saturday for John Payne in Back Home. And be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Stay tuned now for Grand Central Station, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Lisbeth Scott co-stars with Alan Ladd in the Hal Wallace Technicolor production, Red Mountain. Next week is National Boys Club Week. And at this time, the Carnation Company wishes to salute the Boys Clubs of America for their splendid work on behalf of underprivileged youth. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
Stars Over Hollywood, from March 29th, 1952, on CBS, The Story Night Operator, wrapping this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from Radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.